Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I'm so glad that I didn't hang up my gloves when everyone was asked me to, because here I am again. I still love doing what I'm doing. I'm not sick of getting up.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Monday Morning's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack, and on the way, the redevelopments of both Dalymount Park and the Showgrounds take giant leaps forward with the securing of government funding. Edu is set to leave his role as Arsenal's sporting director, and there's reaction to yesterday's action in the Premier League with Manchester United and Chelsea sharing the spoils at Old Trafford and Tottenham putting the boots to Aston Villa. But first today, the long-awaited redevelopment of Dalymount Park now appears to be just around the corner. Dalymount is the largest beneficiary from the government's large-scale Sport Infrastructure Fund. €24.7 million has been awarded to the rebuilding of the home of Irish football. That's part of €173 million that's been awarded to various projects across the sporting spectrum. It was 2015 when Dublin City Council purchased the Dalymount Park site from Bohemians in a deal worth €3.8 million. At the time, the council also wanted to purchase Talca Park, with the thought that Bowes and Shells would ground share at a redeveloped Dalymount. Shelburne pulled out of such a deal, leaving Bowes and DCC to put together plans for a new four-sided, 8,000 capacity UEFA Category 3 stadium. Earlier this year, planning permission was indeed granted, with the optimistic hope that they would be able to move in by 2027. However, such a date would appear fanciful, despite initial works having already begun on the Connaught Street side of the ground. The €24.7 million represents just over half of the expected cost of the new ground. Sligo Rovers have also won big from this latest round of large-scale sports infrastructure funding. They've been awarded €16.4 million towards the redevelopment of their Showgrounds home. Sligo are aiming to be installed in a 6,100 capacity stadium by 2028. It'll be the first such UEFA Category 3 stadium to be built outside of Dublin in the process. According to July's funding application, the new Showgrounds will boast a new grass-based hybrid pitch, which will accommodate other sports and activities, new stands on the Church Road and Jinx Avenue ends, upgrades to the Tracy Avenue and Railway End stands, which include roofing the latter, hospitality areas, fan zones, meeting rooms, gymnasium, club merchandise stop, media area, and a new club museum. Speaking to Ocean FM, Sligo Leitrim and Fine Gael TD Frank Feehan hailed the funding award as an historic day for Sligo Rovers and a tribute to one person in particular.
I'm absolutely delighted, and I just want to pay tribute to Sligo Rovers management team, and especially the late Tammy Gorman for the wonderful application to put in, but also the perseverance and the foresight to put this huge project before the people and before the department. And I'm delighted to have worked certainly with Minister Catherine Martin, Minister Byrne, and the Taoiseach Andy Cornish and many others in getting this over the line. £16.4 million is just an incredible amount of money, but this is exactly what this wonderful club that I'm very, very proud of, Sligo Rovers, deserves.
It comes at a time, Deputy, when there's been a lot of people crying out for investment in the League of Ireland, investment in local clubs like Sligo Rovers, and the fact that this major announcement of funding has finally come to pass. It certainly looks as though local sports and local sports clubs are certainly in a good place, and that the League of Ireland on the whole is really on the up at the moment.
We're so fortunate to have such a professional club such as Sligo Rovers, not just in players, in the way they do their business. Sligo Rovers is owned by the people of Sligo and the North West, and we always felt that we needed parity of esteem with other clubs around the country, and especially in Dublin. And I'm delighted that this government and especially Minister Catherine Martin has listened to the people of Sligo, the people of the North West, but also delivered a project which deserves the support of the government. And again, I'm delighted to have assisted in every way possible over the last 2 years.
Elsewhere, Wexford FC have received €2 million towards their proposed move to a new 6,000 capacity stadium at Killeen's, which would see them leave their current home of Ferry Carry Park. CEO Tony Doyle said earlier this year that the new ground will be modular, allowing them to start with a capacity of 2,000. Wexford had applied for €5.5 million in funding for that project. €1 million has been approved towards an all-weather facility at Cork North West Sports Hub. €4.6 million goes towards a multi-sport endeavour at Dawkey's Hyde Park, at which Dawkey AFC and Coola GEA are both anchor tenants, and €650,000 has been granted towards the upgrading of floodlights at Tallaght Stadium. Finally, County Meath's Seafield Community Facility receives €2.3 million for their athletics and soccer facilities, which includes installation of a new 3G pitch. Surprising news emanating from Arsenal this morning. Sporting director Edu is set to leave the club, bringing to an end a five-year stay with the club for whom he made 120 appearances as a player. Edu has been seen as a valuable asset to Arsenal and a keen ally of manager Mikel Arteta, helping to bring the likes of Martin Odegaard, Declan Rice and Kai Havertz to the club. Sammy Mockbell of the Daily Mail reported that a reshuffling of the Arsenal hierarchy has led to the Brazilian's decision to leave. Further reports claim that Edu is to join Evangelos Marinakis' group of clubs, which includes Nottingham Forest, Olympiacos and Portuguese outfit Rio Ave. In an in-house in-depth interview a couple of years ago, Edu explained the strength of his decision-making unit at Arsenal, which he now looks set to leave, led by his relationship with Mikel Arteta.
Of course, of course, everybody know we have a very, very close relationship, and every single decision we make together with, of course, with the board here. But he needs all our support, you know, because he is part of the team. It's not only him. We have to support him. We have to support the players. I need some support. So we need the support of everyone. But I don't want to only focus on Mikel, because there are a lot of people around Mikel, you know, to make that club go where we really expect it to be, you know. So that's for me is the main point.
Manchester United and Chelsea had to settle for a point apiece at Old Trafford yesterday evening as they played out a 1-1 draw in the Premier League. Bruno Fernandes gave United a 70-minute lead, with Moises Caicedo cancelling out that goal just 4 minutes later for Chelsea. Lissandro Martinez was one of six United players to go into the notebook of referee Rob Jones yesterday for a high challenge on Cole Palmer. A VAR review didn't result in Jones upgrading that particular yellow to red, despite replays suggesting Martinez's studs made contact with the knee of Palmer. Chelsea boss Enzo Maresca, though, was clearly unhappy with that decision.
He was there in the change room with Dice, so we are waiting now. Hopefully it's nothing important. And then I know that you are going to ask me about the referee decision. They showed me before the press conference. I think it's quite clear, almost for all of us, but the referee is there to take a decision, and he took a different decision.
Is that what you were talking about at the end when you went onto the pitch?
I just said that for me, when there is not intention to go for the ball and you just go for the player.
Ruud van Nistelrooy remains in charge for two more United matches ahead of the arrival of Ruben Amorim from Sporting, along with his entire backroom staff. But the Dutchman remains keen to work with the 39-year-old after the international break.
I came here to help as an assistant, as a coach, and in this bit as well, as an interim for a short spell. And then, again, in any capacity, willing to help. So, in that sense, I'm open for this future. We all will be backing him and helping him to get Manchester United to where we all want it to be. And I think that spirit is the most important to have. And it's not about individuals, but it's about the club. No, I look forward to get to know him better. And obviously done very well in Portugal. He's very young, talented coach, and did well for a long time, over a longer spell in Portugal. So, you know, as I said, looking forward to keep helping the club forward. That's my main goal.
Tottenham recorded their fifth straight home win in all competitions, coming from behind this time to beat Aston Villa by 4-1 last night. Dominic Solanke scored twice for Spurs, who moved up to seventh in the table with that win and just 2 points behind Villa. One area for concern emanating from that game for Spurs was them conceding from a set piece yet again, but manager Ange Postecoglou, however, does not seem unduly concerned by that trend.
No, because I think then you fall into a trap of, again, preparing differently. And I've always said that we prepare the same for every game. There's obviously, we know the strengths and kind of areas where they could hurt us. Yeah, look, we conceded from a set piece. But, you know, I know I'm on my own in this. I don't like them. To me, I think I mentioned in the TV interview, you know, it looks like a scrum. I just don't think that's what football's about. But it's part of football these days where you can just drop a ball in the box and people can fight over it. So disappointing for us to concede from that. But in general, I thought we handled their set pieces really well. They are very good at set pieces, and I thought we handled it really well. And it was great for us again to score another one from an attacking set piece. You know, we're scoring goals from different areas, so that's important.
Despite conceding 4 goals in one half, Villa boss Unai Emery wasn't too worried by the nature of their defeat.
Yes, but I am not really worried about it, because could happen, and how was going the match, and how they scored two goals, and after they were in their best position to play, how they are feeling comfortable in transition, was a difficult moment for us. But we needed to try to do something, and even when we were 2-1, if we were scoring or not, I was trying to keep planning something different. But was very tight how we were, because of course, after the problem for Cash, after the problem for Ramsey, after as well the kick of Morgan, they were two players very being consistent, and they were being challenging the match really in the level we needed. But after those necessary change, the team was a little bit different. But we have to try to get a different option as well with the players, even tactically with two strikers. We have to continue in our way in different practice we are doing, because we will need to get different tactical situations sometimes, and of course try to get the best of the players in their performing.
Back here at home, three players from league-winning Athlone Town have been shortlisted for the SSE Airtricity Women's Premier Division Player of the Year. Madison Gibson, Roisin Molloy and Laurie Ryan all make that shortlist. They're joined by Galway's Republic of Ireland international Julianne Russell, Pearl Slattery and Maggie Pearce from runners-up Shelburne complete the list. Athlone keeper Katie Keane is shortlisted for Young Player of the Year, along with Eva Brennan from Bohemians, Cork City's Niamh Cotter, Kate Thompson from Galway United, P-Mount's Ellen Dolan and Katie Lawley of Treaty United. The now former Athlone boss Kieran Kilduff is nominated for Manager of the Year, with Shelburne's Owen Whelan and Galway's Phil Trill his opposition. The winners will be announced at a ceremony at the Aviva Stadium on Tuesday, December 3rd, which comes ahead of the Euro qualifying playoff second leg between Ireland and Wales. And finally, there was a double boost for Galway United last night. Centre-back Patrick Hickey and goalkeeper Brendan Clark have both signed new deals with the club. It had been rumoured that Clark was considering retirement, with Hickey attracting interest from around the league, but they will remain with John Caulfield's side for the 2025 season. That's it for today's Football Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Football feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge, Monday to Friday. My name is Richard McCormack, and I'll be back with more Football Daily for you tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.